kind of wanted Brother David to just keep on.
Yeah.
Lord was blessing. So much appreciate the good humble prayer that's been prayed and the songs that have been sung in our hearts to the Lord. The songs were beautiful, but it's the heart of praise that glorifies our Lord. And I believe we're singing in our hearts to the Lord. Thank y'all so much for your sweet love and hospitality, for all the efforts that go on into putting on a meeting like this. I'm a pastor, and so I have some idea of what it takes to put on a meeting, and so thankful for everyone's work and labor and the love that we felt here in this place. And again, Sister Emily wanted to be here so much, and Brother John Mark as well, and they sent their love. Brother Ken and Sister Sandra Brenner also sent their love and wanted to be here as well. We thank the Lord for the love we felt here, for the sweet hospitality of Brother Brant and Sister Rose and their precious family. The love that we feel in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a love of this world.
Right.
It's not a love that's made in this world. But it's a love that's made in heaven.
Yeah, that's right.
And as we see where the Lord has blessed to put His love in the hearts of His little children, and we have the sweet opportunity and blessing to be able to show love one another, and love flows from breast to breast, that's a love that's made in heaven. And I count it so precious. I'm so unworthy of the least of His mercies, but what a blessing the Lord has poured out on us and the love that He's shown us and the love that we feel from breast to breast. And I thank God for that. Please pray for me as I stand before you. We appreciate and love your pastor and his precious wife, Sister Marlene, so much. And always enjoy hearing him preach, and I enjoyed the wonderful things that He brought to our attention this morning. In John chapter 8, in verse 56, please continue to pray. The Lord Jesus would say, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." The Lord Jesus is talking. And he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." The day of Christ. "And he saw it and was glad." Now, Abraham lived a long time before the Lord Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem. But yet Jesus would say, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." I'm going to tell you, if the Lord Jesus Christ said Abraham saw the day of Christ, I believe Abraham was blessed to see the day of Christ. And he saw it and was glad.
Yeah.
Now, when would that have happened? I believe it happened, if we go back to Genesis chapter 22, which I trust is a familiar portion of Scripture. And it said, "It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." This does not mean that God tempted Abraham to evil, because God never does that.
Right. No.
In the book of James, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted that I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man.
Right.
But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God never tempts a man to evil, but God will test men. And that's what the word means here, that God did test Abraham. You know, me and Brother David were talking before service this morning, and we were alluding to the doctrine of original sin and how when sin came into the world, it brought forth death and sickness and sorrow. You see, sin's not one of man's problems. Sin is man's problem. Sin is the problem. And every problem we may have in this life is a result of sin. It may not be our own personal sin, but it's because we live in a sin-cursed world. And it said, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Abraham was available when God called. What about me? What about you? Where are we when God calls? You know, when God spoke unto Moses out of the burning bush, he said, Moses, Moses. You know, when mama or daddy would call me when I was a little boy and they said my name twice, I knew I better get up and come. It was serious. If they said Mark, Mark, of course, there were five kids in my family, and usually mama and daddy go through the list. They'd start at the oldest, and then they'd wait till they got down to Mark. And then if they called my name twice, I knew it was very important. God calls unto Moses out of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. God had a job for Moses to do. What did Moses do? He said, Behold, here I am. Moses and Abraham were available when God called. We see in the book of Samuel, with a little boy Samuel, he's laid down to bed and he hears his name, Samuel. Samuel. He gets up, he thinks Eli's calling, the high priest. And he goes to Eli and said, Did you call? And he said, No, I didn't call. Lay back to bed. And then Samuel hears his name called again. And he gets back up, goes back to Eli and said, Did you call me? And he said, No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And the Lord winds up calling Samuel three times. And the third time that Samuel goes back to Eli, Eli realizes it's the Lord calling him. Yeah. And he said, The next time he calls, you say, Speak, Lord. For thy servant heareth. Samuel was available when God called. When God called his name again and he knew it was the voice of the Lord, he said, Speak, thy servant heareth. You know, a servant should be attentive to the voice of the master. When I was in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, that chapter began, it says, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train, that is the train of his majestic robe, filled the temple. After Isaiah saw this gracious, wondrous, glorious sight, he said, Woe is me, for I am undone. Now, I'm going to tell you, when we're blessed to see a glimpse of the glory of Almighty God, it doesn't make us puff our chest out and say, Oh, we're so blessed above other men that we've seen this. But I'll tell you, when we come in the sight of his brightness and his glory and his holiness and his righteousness, makes me see how guilty and undone I am. And the prophet Isaiah saw that and said, Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. You know, if you wanted to prove Mark Quarles was a sinner, it wouldn't take you long. But I guarantee you the first piece of evidence would be something I said. And the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And later in that chapter, the Lord would say, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "Here am I, send me." In all of these instances, you see men who were willing that when God called, they answered and said, "Here am I." And I would to God, as our master ever calls us into his duty, into his service, as he lays upon our hearts to do a particular thing that would be consistent with his word, that we'd always have a listening ear and be ready to answer and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Here am I. Send me." That's the attitude of Abram's heart. As the Lord calls him, he says, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest." You know, Abraham had waited a long time for Isaac. From the first time that God would promise to make of Abraham a great nation, Abraham would wait some 25 years before that promised son would be born. And oh, the day when Isaac came, how happy Abraham was. What a blessing it was to Abraham and Sarah that the promised son that God had promised had come, and they loved him immeasurably. And now God says, "Take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and offer him up there in the land of Moriah is a burnt offering from one of the mountains I'll tell thee of." We see a beautiful picture being painted in this chapter, I believe. You have Abraham, who's the father, and the promised son Isaac, his only son, his only begotten son, is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Abraham the father, Abraham his son. And I believe as we read through this chapter, we'll see the fulfillment of what Jesus said, that on this mountain, Abraham would be blessed to see the day of Christ. When he sees it, he's going to rejoice and be glad. This land of Moriah has an interesting meaning. The name Moriah literally means provided by Jehovah. That's what Moriah means. And I'm going to tell you, in this mountain, there's going to be something provided by Jehovah. We don't have to wonder where Moriah is, because the Bible tells us plainly in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 in verse 1 where Moriah is. It says, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." So the land of Moriah is Jerusalem. So God is asking Abraham to take his only begotten son, whom thou lovest, the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sacrifice him where? In Moriah. To sacrifice him in Jerusalem, where the ultimate only begotten son would later come and be offered for my sins and yours. And the Lord begins to paint this beautiful picture.
Yeah.
This story is way more than about Abraham and Isaac. It's about God the Father.
Yeah.
And it's about God the Son.
Yeah.
And he paints this beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father had done for us. Said that Abraham rose up early in the morning. The Lord's given him a tough job to do. Brother David talked about the faith of the old patriarchs. Can you imagine the faith and the trust that Abraham had in God, that I'm going to do what God says no matter what?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I want to do what you say, Lord, but
yeah.
Abraham didn't say but. He just said, I'm going to do what you've told me to do, Lord. And he didn't lollygag around half the morning. He arose up early. He saddled his ass to be ready to do what God had told him to do. I would to God I'd follow that example in my life. That I'd be ready to do what God has called me to do. And I'd be ready to do it early in the morning. He saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place God had told him of. He went to the place. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. God had showed him the place. And he sees the place. And he sees the place on the third day. Now, we already talked about a little earlier in this meeting how in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 17, I believe it's Matthew chapter 20, where the Lord told his disciples numerous times that he was going to be crucified. And he repeated this statement, on the third day, I will rise again.
Yeah.
On the third day, I will rise again. On the third day, I will rise again. You see that emphasis of the third day, the third day, the third day is being the time of the resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we see that pictured here. Now let's look at the phrase, the place. Let's look in Matthew chapter 26. We see the time of the resurrection would be emphasized at the lips of the Lord Jesus as being on the third day. Now let's look at this phrase, the place. Matthew chapter 28. I think I said 26. I meant 28. Said in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, he didn't say nothing to the keepers of the door. They're scared and they needed to be scared. But he said something to these dear sisters. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place. The place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I've told you. And these sweet sisters had the sweet blessing of spreading the good news that Jesus had risen from the dead. What a blessing. They weren't preachers. They weren't called to the ministry. The Lord makes that plain in Scripture. But I'll tell you, brethren and sisters have the ability not to preach, but to tell the good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. What a blessing. And here we see that picture here in Genesis 22 that Abraham, on the third day, he saw the place. He would see the place of resurrection. And you know, the place of resurrection and the place of crucifixion was the same place. How can I say that? Let's look at what the Word of God tells us in John chapter 19. In verse 41, it says, "Now in the place he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, when was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day for the sepulcher was nigh at hand." So it calls the place of the crucifixion the place. And it causes the place of the tomb and of the sepulcher, which would be the place of the resurrection, it's also called the place. And I'm going to tell you, in this mountain, in Mount Moriah, there's going to be a beautiful picture of the place of the crucifixion and of the place of the resurrection. And God Almighty is painting a picture of this, of what great things the Lord Jesus would do for us. And as he continues on, said, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." You know, this is the first time the English word worship is used in the Bible. Right here. It's no coincidence that the first time the word worship is used in the Scripture, that it's not just a story about Abraham and Isaac, that it's the story about the Lord Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. What's our focus of worship here this morning? It ain't about us.
No.
It's about the Lord.
Yes, it is.
Brother David so beautifully laid that out, and the God of glory and the praise and the honor and the focus being upon him. We come to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the focus here of this worship on this occasion, the first time the word worship is used in the Bible, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
He said, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." What, Abraham? What are you saying? You've got to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. Why are you saying he's coming back? Because Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham had such great faith in the Lord and in the Lord's promises. See, God had promised that it'd be through the seed of Isaac that the Messiah would come, that all the blessings of Abraham through his seed would come through Isaac. Well, for that, for God to keep his promise, Isaac had to live. And Abraham trusted so much in the word of God and in the promise of God.
Amen.
He said, "Yeah, I may sacrifice him, but God will raise him from the dead." Because God always keeps his promises.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the same God that kept his promises in the book of Genesis is the same God that keeps his promises to us in 2024 in White, Georgia. It's the same Lord. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac his son. You know, there was a time where someone else was given the cross of Christ to carry, but there was a time where Jesus himself bore the cross for a little while.
Yes.
And we see this picture as Abraham would lay the wood on his son. We see that picture of the cross on the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he would be on the cross, there was a little while the cross was on him. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. You see, there's a unity between the Father and the Son. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus said, I came to do thy will, O God. There was always a perfect unity between the will of God the Father and the will of God the Son. And we see this perfect unity between Abraham and Isaac. They went both of them together. Together. And Isaac spake unto his father, said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. You know, Abraham was not only available when God called. Abraham was available when his son called. So should we be. I'm so thankful to see the efforts and the diligence made here of families trying to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's obvious when your children call that you've answered and said, behold, here am I. May we always do that. When Isaac called, Abraham answered, said, behold, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? You see, Isaac knew how to worship. He had worshiped with his father many times. We have the sweet responsibility as parents to teach our children how to worship. We can't put it in their heart. The Lord's the only one that can born again, but we can put the knowledge of the appropriate way in their head. And again, I commend you all for the sweet blessing in which you have taught your children how to worship. We see that truth taught here. He said, here's the fire and here's the wood, but there's something missing. Where's the lamb? That may be the greatest question that's ever been asked. Where's the lamb? You know, there were many lambs offered in the Old Testament law service. Mm-hmm. Lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb. The morning sacrifice, the evening sacrifice, special sacrifices for sin. A lamb, a lamb, a lamb, a lamb.
Yeah.
But the Bible said those lambs never took away one single sin. And Isaac asked, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? They'll really take away sin. Where's the lamb?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, John the Baptist, when he would see the Lord Jesus Christ coming, he would give the answer to that. Behold the lamb.
Amen.
He's not just a lamb. Behold the lamb. Amen. The lamb that would come and take away all of my sins and all of your sins. Behold the lamb. The greatest question and the greatest answer that's ever been given. Behold the Lamb.
Yes.
And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That tells me that God would provide the lamb. He would send his only begotten son. God would provide a lamb. But it also tells me that God Almighty would be the lamb.
Yes.
The lamb would be God manifest in the flesh.
Yes.
Fully God and yet fully man.
Yes.
God will provide himself a lamb.
Yes.
Don't forget what Moriah means. Provided.
Yes.
By Jehovah. And in Moriah, in Jerusalem, God Almighty would provide his son.
Yes.
His only begotten son that he loved so much.
Yes.
For me and for you. What greater love could ever, ever be shown? And it said, so they went both of them together. Again, that emphasis of the unity of the Father and the Son. And they came to the place which God had told him of. The place that would represent the crucifixion of Christ. The place that would represent the resurrection of Christ. They came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. What's a place of an altar? It's a place of worship. And what should our worship be focused on? Paul would say, I shun not declare anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the place of the altar. He laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Get the picture. We don't know exactly how old Isaac was at this time, but we do know this. Abraham was 100 years older than Isaac. So do you get the picture when you read this that Abraham, this 100 years older than his son, is fighting his son and forcing his son down on the altar, and Isaac's fighting with everything he's got and saying, no, Father, no, Father. Is that the picture we get? I'm not the strongest guy in the world, but if I try to fight with somebody, I'm 53. I'll be 54 in like 3 weeks. I'm not that strong, but I think if I fought a 153-year-old guy, I think I'd win. What do y'all think? If you fought somebody 100 years older than you. That's not the picture we see here of a fight. Again, the unity of the Godhead has been stressed. But I get the picture of Isaac saying, I came to do thy will, O God. I'm going to do the will of my father. When Abraham said, it's time for you to lay down. You see, there was a covenant made before time ever began between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that God the Father would send God the Son, and the Lord Jesus would freely come and lay down his life for you and for me. No man took his life from him, but he freely laid it down. Now there's verses that says they kill the Prince of Life and all that, and they're responsible for the murder of Christ. But they could have never done that had he not freely laid down his life for us. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So we see this sweet picture of Isaac in obedience to the Father and the commandment of God, freely laying himself down on that altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to to slay his son. Can you imagine the faith it took for Abraham to trust God that much?
Yeah.
He stretched out his hand to slay a son. You know, the hand of God the Father was stretched out against God the Son on the cross of Calvary. We heard yesterday some preached about that cup and that bitter cup that the Lord Jesus drank on the cross of Calvary. He drank a cup that had the equivalent of the wrath of God and the punishment of God for an eternity in an everlasting burning fiery hell multiplied by all the elect family of God. He suffered the equivalent of the punishment that I deserve and that you deserve in 6 hours on the cross of Calvary. I can't imagine that. I can't fathom that. I can't wrap my mind around how much he suffered. God's hand stretched out against his son. But I'm going to tell you, the same hand that was stretched out against his son was the same hand that would at the same time be redeeming the elect family of God. Let's look at what it says. You know, when God brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt into freedom, that's a great picture of what God did for us when he took us out of bondage and sin into freedom in the Lord Jesus. Now let's look at what it says about the stretch that arm of the Lord here. Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I'll bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I'll rid you out of their bondage, and I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments." You see, the same arm of the Lord that was stretched out in judgment on the Egyptians was stretched out in redemption for his people. Now I'm going to tell you, on the cross of Calvary, the same arm of God the Father that was stretched out against his son, who was suffering the wrath of my sins and yours, to the extent Jesus would say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It's the same hand that was reached out, gathering together, redeeming every single one of the elect family of God, every single one that God the Father gave to God the Son, at the same time Jesus was enduring our wrath that we deserve. God the Father was redeeming the entire family of God without the loss of one.
Right.
What a blessing that is.
Amen.
We see that pictured here as Abraham stretches out his hand against his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here am I." He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he looked, behold, him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Throughout this account, we've seen Abraham as a picture of God the Father, and Isaac as a picture of God the Son, the Lord Jesus. And now we see it changed to where now the ram will take on the picture of the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the ram took Isaac's place.
That's right.
A ram's a male sheep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's times in the Bible where this word ram, the Hebrew word rendered ram, actually means might. And that's what we believe as Old Baptists, right? We believe in the Lord strong and mighty.
Yes.
The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory.
Mm-hmm.
We believe the one that died on the cross on Calvary's tree is the mighty ram. He's the mighty God. And when he fought that battle, he reigned victorious over sin, Satan, hell, and death. And he got the job done. He finished the work. He won the victory on Calvary's tree.
Amen.
And it's never going to be undone.
Amen.
He took my place. He took your place. You know, it was a great blessing to me to be able to baptize both of my children and to see the love in their heart for the Lord. It's a sweet blessing for me to also look at this and realize the Lord took my children's place. Isaac went free, and the ram died in his place. In a picture, Abraham, who thought his son was going to die, didn't die. In a picture, he saw the resurrection of Isaac. Hebrews 11 will say, by which also he received him in a figure.
Yeah.
You know, if I go and order a burger from Burger King and I say, I also want fries, that means I want more than the burger. I want something in addition to it. Yes, I believe Abraham saw a picture of the resurrection of his son Isaac, but he saw another picture, a far greater picture, both of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and suffer and bleed and die many years in the future, and both of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He saw that in a picture. Let us get to the next verse, and we'll close with this. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What's the it? What's the it that's going to be seen? Jesus told us, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What did Abraham see in that mount? He saw Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. He saw the day of Christ. He saw a prophetic, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus that loved him so much that he would come and suffer and bleed and die. And he saw a picture of God the Father that loved us so much that he would send his only begotten Son to suffer and bleed and die for us on the cross of Calvary. And he saw a sweet blessing of the great victory that Christ would win. And he saw a sweet picture that Christ didn't stay in the grave, but on the third day he rose in power and in great glory. And I'll tell you, the ones that the Lord Jesus purchased there, he's coming back one sweet day. Brother David mentioned, he's going to gather them home.
Amen.
Gather all of us without the loss of one. All that he paid for on the cross, he's going to get us everyone.
Yeah.
And then, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? The Lord Jesus destroyed death on the cross of Calvary. He took care of the sin problem. He washed all our sins in his own precious blood. But we won't fully realize that in every single way till Jesus comes again. But when he comes again, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he ends that by really telling us, don't ever think your service is in vain to the Lord. He finishes with this, and I'll close as I read this verse. I'm going to turn there. right after he's told us what all Jesus has done, he said, therefore, because of what Jesus has done, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Because of what Jesus has done, because of what Abraham saw in that holy mount, Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Christ, and he saw it and was glad. How much do we have to rejoice in this morning in 2024 for all that Jesus has done for us? And what's our response to be? Keep on keeping on. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord because of what King Jesus has done.
That's right.
What a blessing. May God richly bless you.
Amen.
My prayer.